From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to the program. We've got a great show lined up today. I'll be joined shortly by a good friend and special guest, Director of the Nebraska Human Trafficking Task Force, Glenn Parks, will be joining me to talk about a major new initiative to end human trafficking in Nebraska that was just launched by our Attorney General. We're going to talk about what this new campaign is all about and how you can be involved in ending human trafficking in Nebraska. And of course, the Nebraska legislature is in session. Senators are still introducing new bills, but we got some very important and exciting news this past week when Governor Pete Ricketts unveiled a very significant pro-life initiative. The announcement came as part of his budget recommendations that will also include adjusting how Nebraska distributes Title X money, which is a federal grant program for healthcare funding, and the governor has made it clear that he wants to make sure that Nebraska is not sending any of that taxpayer money to facilities who perform abortion. This is a major pro-life initiative, and Nebraska Family Alliance is proudly supporting and standing behind the governor on this, and I think he was right when he said that Nebraska is a pro-life state, and the state's budget should reflect those values. This is good, sound policy and an important opportunity for a pro-life victory, and we'll keep you informed as this proposal moves forward. This past week also marked an important day, National Human Trafficking Awareness Day, which occurred on January 11th, and the Attorney General's Office capitalized on this opportunity to unveil and promote a special new campaign aimed specifically at buyers of minor victims of sex trafficking. This is the Demand and End campaign, and the Attorney General had a special press conference at the state capitol to talk about this and what the state of Nebraska is doing to ensure that we are demanding an end to human trafficking in Nebraska. And I'm thrilled to be joined now by the Assistant Attorney General and Director of the Nebraska Human Trafficking Task Force, Glenn Parks. Glenn, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks, Nate. It's great to be here.
Glenn, talk to us. What is this Demand and End campaign all about?
Well, we in the task force look intentionally at sex trafficking in particular as a market. People go into this for money, and if there is no demand, there would be no supply. So as part of that, we've linked with a group in Georgia called Street Grace, which has helped us produce these different media. There's posters and video and all to show that sex buyers aren't as invisible as they think they are.
So this campaign, Demand and End, is all about demanding an end to the demand for child sex trafficking.
Exactly, and it's a play on words.
What does this issue look like in Nebraska? There's been a tremendous growth, I think, in the awareness and education on this issue, but I still think people are really surprised to hear that this is an issue that's happening right here in our state.
It is, and the more we have some research on this, and the more law enforcement takes proactive measures to try to look to see what's out there, the more it's confirmed. And you know, this is my field, and even I'm surprised sometimes at what happened. I can give you an example. Last 2 days of last year, we did an operation in the Panhandle, and the undercover police officers were advertising a 15-year-old girl, and the gentleman who worked for us, who was responding to the responses, couldn't keep up with all the conversation. And sure enough, two people showed up and were arrested, and at least arrested for sex trafficking. I don't know if they'll be charged with that, but they attempted to solicit a child for this, so it may fit.
Wow, it's shocking, but we know that it is happening. So what do you hope is going to be the result of this new campaign?
So I work for the AG's office, and we're prosecutors, and part of our job is to prosecute and get convictions. But honestly, we prefer to dampen the demand. We would rather people who are considering this, maybe thinking about paying for sex, to think twice and to say, look, you know what? I'm just not even going to do that. And so while we're out there and we're trying to catch people who do actually solicit these things, we're hoping to highlight the new law, which includes solicitation as so the people who buy it as traffickers. And there's also higher penalties now, which are drastic. So I think the more we can get that word out, people who maybe aren't compelled by their morals or their ethics to not do this, maybe in their self-interest will start to say, you know what, this isn't worth the risk.
So you mentioned a bill last year that the legislature passed that increased penalties for human trafficking. And my understanding, before that bill passed, the penalties were almost shockingly low for these crimes.
Yes. In fact, every time this would come up, we would very strongly pursue federal prosecution for that very reason, because federally there was adequate penalties, but on Nebraska side there wasn't at all. So LB 289 was passed last session, and for sex trafficking of a minor, which is the highest crime in this category, it's a 1B felony, which means it's 20 years to life. So I think if people were to understand the amount of penalty and combined with the fact that we're now looking for sex buyers, especially those who are seeking and willing to accept that from a minor, that maybe that'll be a big deterrent. That's our hope.
Well, so we're making good strides with better laws, and now the Attorney General's office is spearheading this new campaign. What is sort of the next step in your mind, and where the state of Nebraska needs to go to continue to really go after this issue proactively?
Yeah, that's a great question. So this last year, we got more active. So let me just say one thing. It is spearheaded by the AG's office, but I, as coordinator of the task force, work very closely with other law enforcement agencies. And so really I've been I've been very impressed with the buy-in from the law enforcement agencies across the whole state. So we organize, we meet regionally, at least quarterly, sometimes more often, especially if we're planning an operation. And so far we've been doing that. So we have, you know, a few of these, but we understand these enterprises are often very sophisticated, and especially people who are underage who are being offered by others for sex, it's harder to find those ads, and so we need to be more creative. So this next year, in 2018, one of our aims will be to think more deeply, to be more strategic, probably to have shorter operations, but more directed, more targeted, as opposed to phishing, which is kind of what we've been doing. And, you know, there is enough out there that catches some people, but we want to address this in a strategic manner in that way.
Glenn, how do you, as the director of Nebraska's Human Trafficking Task Force, this is just such a, you know, deep and dark and difficult issue. What is that like for you on a personal level to have to be so intimately involved in trying to really go after this issue and make sure that the people who are engaging in this aren't able to do so in our state?
Yeah, that's a good question. This is a dark side of humanity that we look at, that we're addressing. It is shocking even to me sometimes what people will, you know, are seeking to do. Thankfully, the subculture of us who are fighting this full time, or who are spending significant portions of our time fighting sex trafficking or labor trafficking, it really brings out the best in people. And so my coworkers and I, this may sound funny, but we actually have fun. I mean, we laugh a lot. There is, I think, a satisfaction in what we're doing. And so maybe the end goal is part of how we handle that. And I think there's a lot of satisfaction in what we do. And honestly, for my purposes, I work a lot, like I said, with law enforcement. So I don't actually have direct contact with victims very often. And I don't personally conduct the online chats with people who are going to be buyers. So I actually feel more, I think that's a bit more of an acute problem for those who do that. And there is, you know, we need to watch ourselves, because this is dark, and it could be, I think it could end up we could burn out more quickly, I think, than other normal jobs.
Certainly. And Glenn, so we've been talking about the new Demand and End campaign launched by the State Attorney General's Office to go after buyers of minor victims of human trafficking. Are there ways that those in the general public can get involved with this campaign or learn more about what's going on?
Well, this campaign in particular, so it's called Demand and End, and one way to see these media is to go to the AG's website. There's a human trafficking button there, and we've just revamped it, so let me brag about that a little bit, that side of the AG's website. And there, one of the buttons says Demand and End. And so the little video there that's up on YouTube, there's a link to that. And there's also some posters. In fact, they'll be placed in the rest areas across the state, across I-80. The Department of Transportation is working on that with us. And so we invite any other businesses or any other individuals who want to download that poster and have it printed and placed in prominent places. The poster basically says, "Sex buyers beware." And the idea is that again, you're not as anonymous as you think you are.
Glenn, could you just walk us through a little bit what maybe some of the signs of human trafficking are that people should be aware of when they're at a place where they might come in contact with someone who is a victim of human trafficking?
So the best way to start is to realize, in general, traffickers go after people with vulnerabilities. And trafficking, by definition, is forcing someone to do something without their consent. So they're doing it against their will, whether it's labor or sex. So that is the first idea. There is somebody who is doing something because they're forced to, because they're threatened to, because their family is threatened, or because they've been broken down. They don't think they're worth anything except for what money they can make for their trafficker. So the victim is not going to make eye contact. They may not even answer for themselves if they're, you know, if they're, for instance, checking into a hotel. If they need ID, for instance, for that reason, somebody else will have their ID. And in different contexts, it takes on different roles. But there's you can look for, especially for sex trafficking, if there are several unrelated, maybe inappropriately dressed teenage girls with an unrelated male with them, and sometimes not even a male, because oftentimes there is one person who is a female who is part of the, you know, the brothel or the group of prostitutes who actually has turned herself into to a trafficker in enforcing the rules.
Glenn, so if people think they might have come in contact with someone who's a victim, is there a number they can call or a place they can turn to for help?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the response would first of all be 911 if you see an emergency. If someone is being, you know, dragged by their hair into a car, kicking and screaming or something, obviously you call 911. If there are subtle things that just don't feel right, and we talk about your spidey sense, you know, if there's something, especially if you're well-versed, if you've looked up the signs of human trafficking on the AGO website or other places, and armed with that knowledge, there's something that doesn't feel right, maybe you can't even quite put your finger on it, we would encourage you to call the national hotline. That's 888-3737-888. And call that and just leave a tip. And so let me explain just what happens at that point. If it's for law enforcement, if you think maybe there's something that's illegally going on, the hotline will make an email and they'll send it to me at the AG's office and the FBI and the State Patrol and Homeland Security. And we will decide among us who will follow up on the investigation. And that system has worked very well. I want to also say, if you are a victim or you know you have a friend who's a victim or you think is a victim, there's also, you can call the same number. It's 888-3737-888. And if you're looking for services or someone to talk to, they will put you in touch with someone in Nebraska. The Salvation Army runs their what's called the Safety Program. And so they'll put you into a live person that you can chat with and talk through. And you don't have to speak to law enforcement if that's not where you are at that time.
Glenn, the work you're doing is so essential and important. And I also know that before joining the Attorney General's office here in Nebraska, you actually worked on combating human trafficking overseas in India for nearly 10 years. What was that experience like for you, serving in that capacity, working very closely on the ground with this issue in India?
Yeah, that there's a lot of similarities, actually, and of course a lot of differences, too. The culture is very different. The laws are very similar. Graciously for me, the language of the law in India is English. So, and really, the criminal statutes look very similar to what we have here in Nebraska. The courtroom is very different, and the relationship with the police is a little bit different. There is, I don't know percentage, but there is certainly more corruption. We had more of a problem keeping it a secret, what operations we were doing when we were overseas. And there are obviously cultural differences as well. One thing, Nate, that I ran into there is the dominant worldview is of karma and rebirth. And so, you know, the situation you're born into now is kind of a result of, you know, where you came from. And so that played into the sex trafficking the cultural structure of it there, which, of course, you don't find here. There is a lot of outrage here, among normal Nebraskans when they find out this is happening in our state. There were some of those other differences. And just the abject poverty. I mean, there were people, you know, their families so desperately poor that they end up having their daughter run off. This is in India. Having their daughter go with some nice old lady who just happened to show up in the village and say, look, I can get your daughter a good job in the big city. We would never imagine doing that here. But the situation there is just so dire that, you know, they have so many mouths to feed and, you know, they get promises that money will start coming back. I think there's, in some cases, there's some more vulnerabilities there in India. But a lot of the similar traits to the industry and to recovery are similar there and here.
Since transitioning back to working on this issue here in Nebraska, in your experiences, have you seen that most of the trafficking victims are people from Nebraska, or is it maybe people from elsewhere being trafficked through Nebraska?
That's an interesting question. I think most of the people, I don't know, I think it's about half. Of course, as you get into the bigger cities on the eastern part of the state, the percentage rises of people who are from Nebraska and sort of are here most of the time. And as you get, you know, further west, the percentage of those being offered online are from out of state. There's a lot of these people who are on a circuit. So they come in every few months. We have some great research by the data scientist at Creighton. They've been following these ads for the last 2 years. So if we give them a number or a particular name of someone and they can identify that person, they can actually follow the last 2 years where they've been advertised. So I think at least half are from out of state. And there are occasionally people from out of the country, which we found.
So, Glenn, what kind of progress do you think that we're making here in the state of Nebraska on doing a better job of combating human trafficking and maybe trying to create more awareness and make sure that maybe we're keeping people out of it so we're having less victims mm-hmm. and more people who understand this issue and know what to look out for?
So we have, you know, we've been getting organized across the state, again, in these five regional teams is most of on the ground work happens through those teams. And as we've been pooling our resources and kind of encouraging each other to actually do proactive operations and to be to have the ability to act immediately to reactive situations, we have more cases. So as of the end of last year, there were 18 active investigations of sex trafficking and 6 active investigations of labor trafficking across the state. Which, you know, you compare it to drugs, that's not a lot, but that's a lot more than we were doing, you know, a few years ago. And so I do think there's a momentum, again, on the law enforcement side. I do think there's more awareness now. We do get more tips. The Polaris number I just mentioned, the national hotline, we're getting certainly more calls in from there, which we are pleased to get. and that really can lead to rescues too. So I think there's more of awareness. I don't have any statistics. I don't even really have any anecdotes to show this, but I hope that with awareness, those who are vulnerable are able to recognize this, or at least their friends, and to get them out before it becomes an abusive situation.
Glenn, my last question for you. What is your message to our listeners on what we all can do to really be a part of this and truly demand an end to trafficking in Nebraska?
Yeah. Well, I would first say I would love for everyone to get informed about the signs. Maybe first to realize it's happening. Do a little research. And I think most Nebraskans, when they realize this is happening in our state, are quite motivated to do something, which is your question, right? So I think the first thing that everybody can do is to learn the signs. I would love an army of people across the state who are well-informed to be able to see this. Because this is something that, while it happens in the shadows, as we say, both labor trafficking, but especially sex trafficking, there are times when the trafficking victim is in the public eye. And we haven't really known what to look for yet. So it's really important that there's that. There's other things. You know, there's lots of great NGOs that are working on different aspects of the fight, and they need volunteers and they need money. So that would be – I would really encourage you to do that. And for people who are very passionate about this, especially if they're at a point where they're, you know, they're at the launch of their academic or careers, you know, careers in medicine and social work and law and law enforcement. And, you know, these are people that get to do this more full time. And that's something that we really need in the state as well.
Well, once again, you can visit the Attorney General's website to learn more about the Demand and End campaign. Glenn Parks, Director of the Nebraska Human Trafficking Task Force, thank you for being on the show today, and thank you for the vital work that you are doing to combat trafficking in Nebraska.
Thanks, Nate. It's my pleasure.
For more information and facts on human trafficking in Nebraska, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org to get informed on the issue and learn more about how you can partner with NFA to help combat human trafficking in Nebraska. And be sure to also visit the Nebraska's Attorney General's website and click on the Demand and End campaign button to learn more about what it looks like to demand an end to trafficking in Nebraska and how you can become a campaign partner to create more public awareness and work towards bringing an end to trafficking in our state. Things will be heating up in the Nebraska legislature as committee hearings begin this week, and senators just have a few days left to introduce new legislation. We'll keep you updated on everything you know about which bills Nebraska Family Alliance is working on and monitoring as we work to advance family, freedom, and life. And if you're not signed up already, be sure to visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org and join the e-network so that you can get timely and important emails and action alerts alerting you to when important votes are taking place in the Nebraska legislature and how you can contact your state senators to make a difference and ensure that your values are protected. And to make sure you never miss an episode and stay up to date on all the latest happenings from the Nebraska Capitol, you can subscribe to Capitol Connection for free by simply searching for Capitol Connection in the podcast app on your phone. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on all the latest happenings from the Nebraska Capitol and keeping you informed on the issues that matter most: family, freedom, and life. Thanks for listening to your Capitol Connection.